Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God to which I draw your attention today is the latter part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, which says, "It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." My dear Christian friends, you 18 candidates who are present, plus those who we wish were able to be with us, the five in absentia, spouses, children of candidates, friends of candidates, colleagues, all. This is hardly the occasion for a lengthy exposition of a portion of God's Word, or for a resoundingly oratorical exhortation out of the Word. We promised a casual event and a brief event, and we want to keep it both. And yet it is hardly the time to neglect the sanctifying of an event by the Word of God as well as by prayer. And so I invite you to consider with me this brief Word of God under the title, as shown in the order of service, Dedication to Folly, and the subtitle, Three Lessons for Pastors. This little word of God which we've read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it seems to me, illustrates, first of all, a pastor's need to study the Holy Scriptures in the original languages. I remember all too clearly references heard in my early ministry from fellow clergymen to the purportedly biblically based idea that the method of communication called preaching was foolishness. And of course, if we have recollection of the King James Version translation of this passage, we do know that there it is clearly said, by the foolishness of preaching. And it sounds as though it could mean the foolishness of that form of communication. But you heard me read it from the Revised Standard Version, and there it said, through the folly of what we preach. That certainly is more accurate according to the original. For the Greek says, diates morias tu kerygmatos, through or by the foolishness of the preachment, the proclamation, the substance of what we have to say. That's the folly. That's the foolishness, not the mode of communication. How misleading it would be if we were to go by an English translation and forget to check the word as God originally gave it. And then I've also heard it said on the basis of this little portion of a sentence from Holy Scripture that it is a cause for warning to preachers about the content of what they preach. Let them beware that they do not choose foolishness to preach about. Well, I suppose that such an admonition would always be in place, but it's really not the message of this text. For the second thing illustrated here is that a pastor needs to study a text in its context. In this case, most emphatically, the following context would be meant. For read what is said in verses 22 to 25. Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. plainly, the proclamation is not to be foolishness because of the folly of us preachers in deciding what to talk about. But the foolishness of our proclamation is to be a foolishness which is that to the sin-darkened mind which has no perceptors by which to understand with appreciation what God gives in His holy word. It's to be foolishness because it is nothing else than God's own truth of the holy gospel centered in Christ Jesus. A foolishness which just contradicts anything that seems wise, either to Jew or to Gentile, but a foolishness which becomes wise to people to whom God, by His Holy Spirit, gives the gift of faith through just such a word as this. Plainly, the proclamation we bring is not folly because of what we fabricate into our proclamation, but it is God's foolishness, which is the only enduring, the only eternal wisdom. And finally, this little text illustrates Paul doing what he says he was determined to do and what God wants all of us to be determined to do. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said that he had determined to know nothing among the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's exactly what Paul was doing when he talked to them in the first chapter, 2. And that's exactly what we must be determined to do, for it is only that precious gospel of Jesus Christ which is a pearl of great price, the pearl which no one can live without. We subscribe by the grace of God and through His enlightenment to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, which says that the whole world is concluded under sin. There's not a just man on earth that does good and sins not. We subscribe to what the Scriptures say. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Die the death of eternal destruction. Hell. We subscribe to the truth that God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, into the flesh to die that death which belongs to all men by virtue of their sinfulness, so that anyone who believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. We subscribe to the truth that no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Ghost, and yet that Holy Spirit does work through this Word of God even when it comes from our lips. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That's the third lesson that this brief word from 1 Corinthians can give us. And it's cause, dear brethren, for us on this day to rededicate ourselves to the proposition that we shall preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, determined to know nothing but that. Preach it truthfully and accurately, textually and contextually, so that by the power of God in our ministry through the Word by His Holy Spirit, the people who hear us will be saved, and even we should be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise to pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, whose gracious presence never fails to guide and govern those whom you have nurtured in your steadfast love and worship, make us ever revere and adore your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Merciful God, we humbly implore you to cast the bright beams of your light upon your church, that we, being instructed by the doctrine of the blessed apostles, may walk in the light of your truth, and at length attain to the light of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, whose infinite power alone does great wonders, send down on your ministers and on the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, and that they may truly please you, pour on them the continual dew of your blessing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Ministerial Placement Committee of the Council of Presidents, meeting with the directors of placement from the seminaries in Chicago yesterday, acting in behalf of the entire council as Board of Assignments, received the calls which congregations had extended for candidates through the Board of Assignments, and in behalf of those congregations extended the calls to the men becoming available from Concordia Seminary St. Louis, Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne, and Concordia Theological Seminary St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. It is my pleasure now to present those calls on behalf of the Board of Assignments to you men here gathered. Will you candidates please come forward as your name is called and receive your document and a handshake of congratulation from Dr. Groudon and from me. First, we have two colloquy students in absentia, Robert Anthony Lucio, Nebraska District, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Bertrand, Nebraska. Richard Wilkie, Minnesota South District, Resurrection and Trinity Lutheran Churches, Redwood Falls and Sanborn, Minnesota. David Scott Andrus, Missouri District, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Overland, Missouri. George David Bloom, Eastern District, Faith Lutheran Church, Herndon, Pennsylvania. George John Berza, Jr., Northwest District, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Aberdeen, Idaho. Jeffrey Donald Callahan, Southern Illinois District, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Marion, Illinois. Timothy Curtis Cartwright, North Dakota District, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Minot, North Dakota. George Ernest Dom, Nebraska District, Zion and St. John's Lutheran Churches, Hoskins and Pierce, Nebraska. Charles Rudolph Deckert, North Dakota District, Lynch Emanuel Lutheran Church, Glenburn, North Dakota. Charles and Tim are going to be 14 miles apart. In absentia, Aldous Raymond Elberts, California, Nevada, Hawaii District, St. Philip's Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor, Dublin, California. In absentia, Mark William Halverson, Iowa East District, Peace Lutheran Church, Olwine, Iowa. In absentia, James Nicholas Harris, California Southern District, Faith Lutheran Church, Calexico, California. That, incidentally, is a congregation which has been Anglo in a community 97% Hispanic. And it is now, for the first time, embarking on a chiefly Hispanic ministry. Ernest Rodriguez Hoopert, Minnesota South District, Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Silver Creek, Minnesota. Edward William Knuth, Minnesota North District, Emmanuel and St. Paul's Lutheran Churches, Wheaton and Mashua, Minnesota. Richard Paul Leeske, Missouri District, St. John's Lutheran Church, Associate Pastor, St. Louis, Missouri. Richard Wilson Leinberger, Northern Illinois District, St. Peter Lutheran Church, Assistant Pastor for Community Outreach, Arlington Heights, Illinois. Mark Christian Lacus, Indiana District, St. Paul Lutheran Church, Brazil, Indiana. Richard Roy Rice, California, Nevada, Hawaii District, St. Paul and First Lutheran Churches, Artois and Willows, California. Alan Paul Rosenau, Southern District, Ascension Lutheran Church, Marianna, Florida. Robert Ernest Smith, St. Luke Lutheran Church, Winnemac, Indiana. Timothy Eugene Sowers, Southern Illinois District, St. Luke Lutheran Church, Olmsted, Illinois, shared ministry with the Southern Illinois District, including chaplaincy at a minimum security prison. Rick Harrison Tinsley, Southern District, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Crestview, Florida. Paul Wayne Zalman, probably tired of always being last. Florida Georgia District, Advisory Council for Missions for Nassau Lutheran Church, Nassau, the Bahamas. Let us rise to pray for the candidates by singing together hymn 258.